You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of the Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan. Braves Country Radio. Everybody was asking for your pick all afternoon long, and you said, I have to go on Braves Country Radio first to give my pick, and then I will tweet it out. Okay, so what is this
Braves radio? I mean,
they gave me an interview about gambling for 15, 20 minutes.
Armchair. Armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to
save
idea?
The pump
up. Really, this is
you
what you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. It's Thursday. That means it's the NFL Power Hour. Let's get it.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, the Armchair. Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I hope you're having a hell of a Thursday as we are getting set for a pretty good Thursday night football matchup. You get the Tennessee Titans squaring off against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Our play-by-play of Thursday night football will be beginning very, very soon. We're looking at the schedule as the baseball season coming to an end and didn't really have time to prepare for tonight's game. So we're pushing it back. I don't think I want to make the debut with Panthers-Bears. I'm going to be honest with you. It just doesn't interest me. I don't think it interests anybody. It is a terrible football game. We're going to look at the schedule this weekend and figure out maybe there's some college action that we can bring you next week, et cetera, et cetera. But we're going to be doing about one football game a week, and we'll be going from there. I won't be able to do the Monday night games like I thought I was going to be able to do because I have taken a position where I'm going to have to be at work very, very early on Tuesday mornings. It's not going to be the case on Friday mornings. Friday mornings won't have to be there till a little later. It's still early, but it's not quite as early. So going to try to do some Thursdays, maybe Wednesday type ball games, maybe a Friday night game, et cetera, et cetera. And then as the season wears on, we're going to be able to get a better indication of what we're going to be able to bring you during the postseason action as well. Bowl games, NFL playoffs, you know, all that kind of stuff. So tonight's game would have been a good one to start off with, just didn't have the time to be able to prepare for it as we've been covering the World Series. But tonight's game, you had a pretty darn good one. I mean, let's be honest. You've got the Titans who are 3-4. They look like they may have turned a corner with their quarterback situation. And Will Levis, he went out there and threw four touchdown passes. Now, you got to take it with a grain of salt, right? Titans didn't exactly play the 85 Bears out there. But when you look at what Levis did in his debut, it's pretty darn impressive. That's a pretty good Falcons defense, has been all year long. And Levis went out there 19 of 29, did not throw an interception, threw four touchdowns, went 238 yards. And man, I'll tell you what, he missed a couple of passes. One was a great defensive breakup at the last second. Or heck, it might have been five touchdown passes. And the other impressive thing about Levis that I was not expecting, because you didn't see it a whole lot in college, but man, did he get unleashed in his debut in the National Football League. That kid can throw the deep ball. I mean, he can absolutely throw the deep ball, and it is an impressive thing to watch, and I'm looking forward to watching him tonight, and I think he's going to see a little different look. I think a couple things are going to be in play here. A, he's going to be on the road. B, he's going to be facing a Steelers defense that likes to apply pressure. But it's going to be a good litmus test. On the other side of the docket for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've got their head above water. They're 4-3. They are coming off a tough loss against the Jaguars. By the way, can we stop it with the social media posts on the Pittsburgh side of it? Keep pointing to a lined up in the neutral zone during a field goal attempt, pointing to that's why you lost. You lost by 10, okay? Stop it. Second of all, you were in the neutral zone. There were three Steeler helmets in the neutral zone. Now, if you look at it, depending on where you're at on that sideline, it appears that one Jaguar helmet may have been in the neutral zone as well. But there were three Pittsburgh Steeler helmets in the neutral zone. If you're lined up down the line, the view that I saw, and of course, the one that was first shared to me was by a Steeler fan, friend of mine on Facebook, and I'm not going to call him out, but y'all are probably pretty familiar with who he is. He used to do Atlanta Brave, Atlanta Hawk television, and he shared the one picture, and I'm sure he got it from the Steelers site. But here's the thing. That view was skewed because it was from way above, and it was tilted from the Steelers sideline. So when you got the actual view right down the middle, both look, do I think it was a ticky-tack call? Yeah, probably. I really thought that what it should have been lined up for that they really missed that the Steelers got away with was it was an illegal formation because they didn't have seven people on the line. But that's neither here nor there. They lost by 10. That one play call, that or one penalty, that did not cost them the game. It would have made it 20-13. Congratulations. You would have lost by 7. But tonight's game, it's a home game. They're going to want to see big things out of Pickett. And this should be a fun showdown. Pickett versus Levis. Two young teams. Two young quarterbacks. Both of them appear to have kind of a gunslinger mentality. I'm looking forward to it. And as far as the lines go in this one, Pittsburgh's a 2.5-point favorite. Over under 36.5. I'm honestly would be suggesting not to touch it. If it gets to 3, I'm probably taking the Titans. Titans with a field goal in the back pocket because, look, the Steelers don't put anybody away. And not that I think Levis is going to do what he did against Atlanta. It was the first game, first time defense had seen him, all that. I get that. But I also don't think that Pickett's going to have a very easy time moving the damn ball on the Tennessee Titans. So when it's all said and done, it's going to be a close-knit, hard-fought ball game. Over-under being 36.5, it's a little low, I believe. But I don't have a strong enough feeling to tell you to take it either way. If I was going to do anything, I would probably tease the over and the Titans, meaning getting me to, depending on your tease, somewhere around getting about 3 points, 3.5, somewhere in that neighborhood, and taking the over to about 30.5, and I think that's gettable. But we move on because this is the Power Hour. This is where we give you the Elite Eight, and then we always round it out and tell you the Baker's Dozen. But we give you the firm Elite Eight and then give you some that are on the outside looking in. Now, real quick, I do want to mention, because we haven't talked about this since it was released on Tuesday night, the college football rankings that finally came out, first week of it happening. I don't have a big issue with any of it. I know there are some people who are up in arms, believe that Georgia should be number one. They should. Let's be honest. The Georgia Bulldogs should be number one. The committee putting Ohio State there is laughable. But it's not a big deal either way because Georgia, if they win out, they're going to leap over Ohio State. They just are. They're going to have a much better resume. And if they run the table, their resume is going to be so much more impressive than Ohio State's. Because if you look at Ohio State's schedule, and this is why I wouldn't have them number one. Okay, yeah, they beat number 7 and number 9, Penn State and Notre Dame. But I would also tell you this, Notre Dame is a good team, but they do have 2 losses. And Penn State, at the time of that ranking, I think we have found some things out about Penn State. And mainly the fact that they're not as good as that ranking was. And so I have a hard time saying that Ohio State belongs over Penn State. Right now in the current rankings, Notre Dame's what, 15th, and Penn State's 11. But I will say this for Georgia, and I think this is what the committee was getting at, what they're pointing at, and teams need to pay attention to this heading into next year more than anything else. This year, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference because only 4 teams are getting in. But when you start talking about those 12 teams getting in. What they have essentially awarded Ohio State for is playing someone outside their conference. When it's all said and done, that's what they did. They said Georgia playing UT Martin and Ball State and UAB is not good enough to put you at number one. They did pound Florida, but Florida is not who Florida normally is. This is the shadow of the Florida former. I mean, it's who Florida's been for the last few years, but you catch my drift. This is not a powerful Gator team. This is a Gator team that's probably looking at a new head coach by the end of next season. They've beaten Vanderbilt. They beat Kentucky, and that's all well and good, but Kentucky has kind of fallen off at the time they were ranked, but they're going off of where you're at right now. So what's the signature win that Georgia has? They don't really have one because their out-of-conference schedule is so bad. If you want to talk about a team that's underranked, because look, Michigan has played no one either. Michigan has played absolutely nobody. So they're sitting there at three. If you're a Florida State fan, you're probably up in arms. You're probably saying, what the hell, man? We're undefeated. We've had impressive wins, beating number 16 Duke by 18, blowing out Wake Forest last week, pounding Syracuse, pounding Virginia Tech, who, by the way, if Virginia Tech wins this weekend, they get the inside track to the ACC championship game. So Virginia Tech, even though they're overlooked by a lot of folks, they're right there. They beat Clemson. And, of course, everybody remembers beginning of the season, they beat the brakes off of LSU. So Florida State's resume is actually more impressive than anybody in the top five. But I think most Florida State fans, or at least I would tell most Florida State fans, relax. Relax. We are weeks away. And what it's really going to come down to is, do you run the table? If you run the table, you will be in. Ohio State and Michigan have to play each other. A one-loss Ohio State or Michigan team is not staying ranked over Florida State. They're just not. They won't have a conference championship. Florida State will have a better resume. I still think Penn State's going to lose a game somewhere down the road here. Penn State is not the team that we thought they may have been. There's a reason why they're sitting at their 7-1, and they are behind all of these one-loss teams, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, and nipping at their heels, one-loss teams, Missouri and Louisville. Penn State is a team that has played absolutely nobody, and they were manhandled by Ohio State. Don't let that 20-12 score fool you. It was 20-6. That was a garbage time touchdown. The one impressive win that I will say that Penn State had was the blowout, albeit it was in Happy Valley, but the blowout of Iowa. But anyways, just wanted to kind of go over that for a second. We're going to be doing these more often, switching around our schedule a little bit in the college football armchair top 10. We're probably going to start doing it on Wednesdays, because it just makes more sense to have it come out after the committee's rankings, or maybe we put it on Tuesdays, but regardless, we'll be reacting to the committee's rankings on Wednesday. And looking at this, you see Washington on the outside looking in. You might say, well, man, Washington had the big win against Oregon. Washington has looked bad ever since then. Washington, once again, they've got nothing to worry about. Let's just say it's Ohio State that wins out. If Ohio State wins out, Georgia wins out, Florida State wins out, and Washington wins out, guess what? That's your playoffs. That's your playoffs. I would say it would probably be Georgia number one, Washington four, Ohio State 2 and Florida State 3, and that would be your matchups. Seminoles versus the Buckeyes, Bulldogs versus the Huskies. That's the logical way that they would put it together, but you never know. You never know. They could have ulterior motives if they're trying to make sure that certain teams don't play each other, or they're trying to make sure that you get certain... I could see where they want to make sure Ohio State and Georgia are the 1-2 seeds. And depending on where they have them, they could decide that they want the South facing each other in Georgia and Florida State. And what will be the future of the pack of the Big Ten, Washington and Ohio State facing each other. But if they're being legitimate rankings, it would be Georgia 1 facing 4 Washington, 2 Ohio State facing 3 Florida State. So anyways, there you have that. We'll go ahead and turn the page. I did want to talk about the college football rankings. And there's so many great games that we'll talk about, especially football Friday when we get into the point spreads and everything. But there's some great matchups this week, and they got some great matchups coming up. But let's turn the page to the National Football League. All right, first thing that you have to dissect before you go into any of these rankings here on the Power Hour is let's look at what happened at the trading deadline. NFL trading deadline has come and gone this week, and there were some interesting moves. The Seattle Seahawks sent their 2nd and 5th round pick to the New York Giants for defensive lineman Leonard Williams. Bolsters up the Seahawks defense quite a bit. The Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is the one that everybody focused on because the quarterback position is the king dingling, right? But this really wasn't that big of a deal. It was a deal to make this season for the Minnesota Vikings a season where they weren't just going to give up. So I have to applaud the Vikings for trying this, and I'm pulling for Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs has just, man, he's been everywhere, hasn't he? I saw someone doing a breakdown of all the places he's been, and it really is amazing of all the different teams that he's bounced around the league. But I'm pulling for Dobbs. I hope he does. I hope he makes the playoffs. I have never been any kind of a Minnesota Viking fan. I am this year. I'm going to be pulling for Dobbs. I want to see him get there. Be really fun. Dobbs goes to the Vikings via the Cardinals. And they sent guard Ezra Cleveland to the Jaguars for a 6th. Cardinals did. Vikings and Cardinals, they just did a late round pick swap. And that to me was very interesting. And look, I know Kyler Murray is going to be back. But it was just interesting to me that they didn't get much out of him, much for him, when I feel like he could have really helped some teams. They would up the ante a little bit. I think he's extremely undervalued. Anyways, Buffalo got help at the cornerback position by trading a 3rd-round pick to the Packers for Rasul Douglas. And then this was the big one to me. The Washington football team, or what do they call themselves now? The Commies, the Commanders. They sent Montez Sweat to the Bears for a 2nd-round pick and Chase Young to the 49ers for one of their 3rd-round picks. That is an amazing situation there. Washington was not necessarily out of it, and I get that these are two guys that haven't realistically lived up to what they wanted, what they expected from them. But first of all, remember, Young is coming off an injury season, but that really guts their defensive line. In Washington, they're sitting there at 3-5. If things fell their way, I could see them making a run towards the wild card. This is a sign they are totally giving up. It also kind of tells me they're probably going to make a change at the top when it's all said and done. But their defense, which is something that they expected to be much better this year, just got gutted on the front line, and Washington will try to put something together as they head towards New England this weekend. But that, to me, was the biggest move. I'm sure a lot of y'all agree. I know the one that got most of the publicity was the Joshua Dobbs deal, but there you have that. So, and by the way, the 49ers adding Chase Young, wow. All right. Moving on from that, we're going to go ahead and get into the Power Ratings, NFL Power Hour. We're going to step aside real quick, take a really quick break. When we come back, reset, and we'll give you 8 through 1 in a flash. Keep it locked in here on WQEE.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE, The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Do you want to lose 18 pounds fast and improve your health? Now you can lose up to 18 pounds in your first 2 months with Nutrisystem. Get delicious breakfasts, lunches, dinners, even snacks and shakes delivered safely to your door. All delivered for free. It's easy to follow, and you'll see results in your first week. You'll get your favorite foods made healthier and perfectly balanced to put your body in fat-burning mode. Millions of people have lost weight with Nutrisystem, and you can too. Lose up to 18 pounds in your first 2 months.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm going to have to speed things up. You can get the Farmer Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limit, hearing full stop, making lane change, signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmer's Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, the season's finally here.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturdays, 10 a.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m., Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. Right here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM, WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair.
As professional football evolves, the elements that make the game sparkle today can be traced to Los Angeles, California, where the modern pro offense was born. Offensively, the Los Angeles Rams were decades ahead of their time. And in 1950, were the most explosive team in the history of the sport. With quarterbacks Bob Waterfield and Norm Van Brocklin throwing to a bounty of all-pro receivers, the Rams presented a carnival of big plays, a merry-go-round offense with a simple philosophy. To hell with how many points the opposition scores, we'll just score more. In one season, the Rams scored 466 points, 39 a game, a pinnacle unmatched by any NFL team before or since.
Armchair.
Welcome back. All right, the NFL Power Hour. Brought to you by nobody, you cheap bastards. All right, let's go. We're going to give you the top eight, and then when we get to that, we'll explain on why the folks who missed
the outside, on the outside looking in, why they are where they are. But it's really getting more and more difficult to keep certain teams out of the top eight. And there's really more of an argument more than anything else when I looked at this to maybe we might start whittling it down. We were doing Baker's dozen, 13. It's probably going to get closer to 10. Because you're going to start getting to a point where certain teams are just playing themselves out of it. But anyways, let's go ahead and go to the number eight team in the National Football League. Now, this is not based all on records, but a lot of it is based on records. So in other words, if there's a team out there that's really talented but just isn't playing well, might be banged up with injuries or whatnot. A team like the LA Rams, they're not going to be on the list just because you think that they may beat one of the teams on this list. So let's get to it. The number eight team here on the Thursday Power Hour. We start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are 6-2. They've won 5 in a row. And it's really hard to keep them out of the Elite Eight. But I have a hard time putting them over certain teams. Because though they have won 5 in a row, you can poke holes in it. Now, the one thing that I will give you is, hey, they went over to London and won 2 games. One against the Bills, and of course against the Falcons, but one against the Buffalo Bills. They came back with no bye week and took out a division foe pretty easily, pretty handily in the Colts. Then they turned around 4 days later and went to New Orleans, a tough assignment. I mean, these guys had to have been absolutely exhausted at this point. And they got the win in New Orleans. And then they got a little bit of a breather and got a big win against the Steelers. I told you last week I was taking the Jaguars. There's just something about Jacksonville in Pittsburgh. They just got their number. And they're going to head to the bye week. And I don't see them falling out of my top eight. That's for sure next week. They're going to head to the bye week, and they've got a stretch where they're going to be tested. They're going to play coming off the bye week. They'll be at home against the Niners, home against the Titans, at the Texans, home against the Bengals, at the Browns, home against the Ravens. Then it does lighten up a little bit towards the end, Buccaneers and Panthers, and then in Nashville to take on the Titans. That game may or may not mean something. Titans look a lot better with Will Levis, but that was one game. So right now, you're looking at this Jacksonville Jaguar team and you're basically seeing a team that looks like they're coming together and they've got a great record, but they will be tested. We'll just have to see how it plays out. All right, the number 7 team on this list. Man, I've been trying to keep this team up towards the top. Keep them up there. I still believe they're one of the best teams in football. But I cannot put you any higher than 7th when you have lost 3 games in a row, San Francisco. San Francisco 49ers head to their bye week on another loss. They lost to the Browns. At the Browns, at the Vikings, and home against the Bengals. And you could explain away the Cleveland one very easily. Minnesota, they ran into a very hot Kirk Cousins. Such a damn shame that he got injured. But they came home, and I get it, the Bengals are good. I cannot argue against that. But you got to get that win, San Fran. So they've got some regrouping to do. They'll come out of the bye, and they're heading to Jacksonville. That's going to be a fun game a week from Sunday. The number six team on the list, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, they're 5-2, so they've played one less game than some of these teams. They really got drubbed by the 49ers a few weeks ago. They had the tough loss at Arizona in week three. But they won the big game coming off of that loss to the Niners. They won the big game on Monday night against the Chargers. And then they thoroughly dominated the Rams. And I just feel like you got to put them just a notch above San Francisco. Only because San Francisco's on the three-game losing streak. That's my only reasoning for it. Obviously, San Francisco thoroughly dominated the Cowboys. But these rankings are fluid, and if you look like junk, I can't keep you up there. The number five team is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are now 6-2 in the league. Second best record in the National Football League. Tied for the second best record. Bounced back with a big win against the Raiders. Winning that game 26-14. Kind of a ho-hum win against the Raiders. Kind of expected them to win a little more convincingly, but hey, this is the National Football League. A win is a win is a win. And they come off of that embarrassing loss to Baltimore and get back to business and win a game that they absolutely needed to win. And now they set their sights. Isn't it funny that all these teams are hitting the bye week? They set their sights against the Chargers Sunday, November 12th. And when they come off of that, I mean, they've got a run where they can go on a run. They're going to be at the Chargers, not an easy place to play. But you've got the Bears at home, the Packers at home, at the Saints, at the Bears, and at home against the Broncos, followed up by the final 3 weeks of the season. They'll play the Vikings twice and at the Cowboys. The only game that you can look at right now and say they'll be an underdog is at Dallas, December 30th. The rest of them, they should be favorites. Now, we'll see how quickly Dobbs can adjust to the Vikings offense and see what kind of fight they'll have in them. But these are very winnable games down the stretch for the Lions. If the Lions can really start hitting their stride, they've got a good chance of possibly grabbing the one seed in the NFC. How wild would that be? So the Lions right now are sitting at 5. But you almost have to put an asterisk by that because I think that they're going to be climbing. The number four team is the team that just took them out a couple of weeks ago, the Baltimore Ravens. How can you not have the Ravens up there in the top four? Look, they won a dicey game on the road that they probably never should have let the Cardinals get back into. Fair enough. I can't argue against that. But they won a road game in the National Football League, and the Cardinals have actually been pretty feisty at home. You look at what the Ravens have done. They lost a tough game against the Colts in week three. They lost a game in Pittsburgh 4 weeks ago that a lot of folks felt like that they just kept stumbling and bumbling their way through. I keep hearing the argument that the Ravens could be undefeated. All right, but you can make that argument with just about any damn team. The fact of the matter is they've got two losses. And your record is who you are. And sometimes you got those losses because you were making mistakes. Now, I believe they've cleaned those up. But you look at those losses, they're just bumps in the road. I mean, we're talking about a 17-game season now. A 17-game season, you're going to get a few losses here and there. It's how you bounce back. It's how you find your way out of those losses and continue to plod along. In Baltimore, they're just an they're what we expect the Ravens to be every year. A physical defensive team that can run the football. They're not going to get you any kind of wins if they fall behind. If you get the Ravens behind the sticks and have to make them start chucking the ball around, what you're really looking at is a team that can't come from behind. But hey, they don't play the type of ball game that's usually an issue, because they're usually very sound defensively, controlling the line of scrimmage. Their defense is up there with one of the best in all of the National Football League. And they try to hold on to the ball. And they try to dictate the pace. And as long as they're not turning the ball over and making it easy for others, you're not going to have many instances where the Ravens are going to fall behind. Now, a team that I would be worried about them facing the playoffs would be a team like the Miami Dolphins. Because Miami has the type of weapons where they can get out and run and just leave you behind. And they fall behind the Dolphins two or three scores. They're not coming back because they just don't have the firepower to do it. And when I say the firepower, I'm mainly talking about their quarterback. Their quarterback is a very good physical running quarterback. Their quarterback can hit the open guy because of play action. But if you make Lamar Jackson drop back and throw the ball 40 times, it's over. But that's not their game, and that's not how they're going to try to play. So Baltimore right now is firm number four, and they could be climbing. But right now, the three teams above them, I just think, are head and shoulders above everybody in the National Football League. My number three team is the Miami Dolphins. I do think on a neutral field, Miami would find a way to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. But right now, I've got to put them at number three, because the simple fact of the matter is they just played the Dolphins, or the Dolphins just played the Eagles, however you want to look at it, couple of weeks ago, and the Eagles dominated that game. They won it by two touchdowns. Now, we get a fun one this weekend because the Miami Dolphins are going to be hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're technically the road team. Doesn't matter. The game's being played overseas. It's going to be a 9:30 kickoff. I believe this one is in Germany. That is going to be a fun game. 9:30 in the morning. I know it really sucks to get your football watching started that early. Look on the bright side. There's a lot of good teams that are taking the weekend off. So you can get up, watch the game, and then probably dip out, if not the early window, then the late window. But that is going to be a fun one. 9:30, Sunday morning. And remember, the time changes, so we get the extra hour of sleep. So it's almost like 10:30 kickoff. Number two team, I think you know where this is going, the Philadelphia Eagles. Ah! Wait a minute. The Eagles have the best record in football. Don't care. Eagles would not beat the Chiefs. We saw that in the Super Bowl. And I feel like that the Chiefs lost a road game, a divisional road game, I get it. The Broncos are not a very good team, but there was a lot of talk about how Patrick Mahomes was under the weather, playing with the flu, et cetera, et cetera. And they did not look their best. They get the road loss. Whoopity-doo. They're still 6-2. Best record in the AFC. Now, we're going to find out this week. Chiefs and Dolphins. The winner of that game will have an inside track to the number one rating next week. Philadelphia Eagles are playing the Dallas Cowboys Sunday afternoon. Pretty good marquee slate, by the way. You look at what we have coming your way this weekend in the National Football League. Pretty darn good slate. We're going to talk about that here in a second. We're also going to talk about a couple of the teams that we left out, why we left them out. We'll be back in a flash. Keep it locked in here on the key. You're listening to Braves Country Radio, the Armchair Quarterback NFL Power Hour. We'll be back.
Been all over the world. Beat them all. And it's hard to believe, isn't it? Really hard to believe that so much man could be wrapped in such a good-looking package.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country, the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Hey, y'all, I'm Mac McGee, and you don't want to miss as we cover the entire NFL on Armchair Quarterback Radio.
12-0 Chicago Bears. If they could go all the way, they would be 19-0. The last undefeated team in pro football history, these Miami Dolphins. 72, 14-0 regular season. After the Super Bowl, they were 17-0. For a third down and six, Cooper, Moore, and Clayton. Out of the way. Into the arms of Clayton. Oh, and are things going right for the Dolphins tonight? 42-yard touchdown, batted into the air at the line of scrimmage. This is vintage Monday Night Football. Final seconds ticking off. Bears will not go undefeated. What a victory for the Dolphins. And Dan Marino reigns supreme once again.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE.
Other Cowboy innovations include reviving the shotgun offense, not used in 15 years. Sometimes you have to reach back to stay a step ahead. What makes the Cowboy so appealing is what separates the good teams from the great ones. The ability to come from behind to win.
Shotgun formation, Starbuck looking into the face of a four-man rush, throwing, caught, screech down, run, screech!
Given a win-or-else situation in the closing moments, no team was ever better.
You gotta love them. I mean, you gotta love the Cowboys. They're the most exciting team in the NFL. They can pull it out.
42 seconds left in the game. Redskins lead by six.
This is a killer.
Second down and eight. From the eight-yard line. No shotgun this time. Staubach throwing in the end zone. Cody Hill!
It's not so much that the Cowboys win football games. It's the manner in which they win that makes them one of the best ever.
Armchair. If y'all hit the lottery, y'all giving y'all girlfriends half?
Half? I ain't giving that goofy ass a penny. The only thing I'm giving her is this. Went to go get groceries. Be back soon. Psych! I just won the lottery! It's over, Goofy! I'm rich!
Bum stickity bum stickity bum, I got that open up a pump, but I can feed by your whole diddly bum. Here I come, so feed a pipe up. I'm hyping up Pinocchio's nose, cause I'm a super califragilistic tic tac toe. I gave a oopsie daisy.
Welcome back.
The books, googly goo, where's the gravy? So one, two, buckle my, Sue, yeah, but do hibbity hoo, crack a bruise.
We got ourselves pretty good Thursday night football game tonight. We're gonna go over the NFL slate for this weekend. Before we do that, real quick, we want to talk about a couple of teams that are just on the outside looking in. Fans of a few of these teams might go, what the hell, man? What? If I was to put a team right there on the outside, it would be the Cincinnati Bengals. They're sitting there at 4-3. They have won 3 in a row. But you have to factor in the fact that they were 1-3 at one point. I do believe Joe Burrow is playing much better. I believe he's healthier. All that being said, you keep winning, and you're going to keep climbing. But we're going to find a little bit about them tonight. This week. Sunday night. When they played the Bills. More on that in a second. Speaking of the Bills, they would be another team that would just be on the outside looking in. That would probably be my 9-10 team. And I get it, Seattle is sitting atop the AFC West, and I think a lot of folks would say, hey, how do you not have a team who's 5-2 there? I don't believe in them yet, but hey, they can shut me up. They can shut me up quickly, because this Sunday, they are in Baltimore to face the Ravens. So even though you've got a lot of good teams that are on the bye, we've got some pretty good matchups. We're going to hit those up here in just a second. There's no other real team that I would say that I'm leaving off here. There are some teams I'm keeping an eye on. Teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers that have promise. I just have a question about their quarterback play. Their defense is solid. But how do they move the ball? I can rinse and repeat that same exact thing for the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. All of them sitting there at 4-3, just like the Bengals. I just have the Bengals a notch above them. And look, I love what the Jets are doing. It's fun to watch. It really is. I just don't know how sustainable it is when Zach Wilson continues to struggle to move the chains. All right, let's take a look at this weekend real quick before we hit the top of the hour. These are games. Obviously, Falcons at home against the Vikings. Folks that are going to that game have that circled. That'll be the one you'll be focused in on. I don't know if Atlanta should be a 4.5-point favorite. I don't like that line at all. But then again, we don't know what Minnesota's going to trot out there at quarterback. This isn't like baseball where you can just put a guy out there and have him play his position. It's a quarterback of the National Football League. Like, I can't imagine Dobbs will be ready to roll. But 4.5, even still, the Falcons don't score a lot of points. And I just feel like this is going to be a weird slobber knocker type of game. And if I have 4.5 points in my pocket, I'm probably going to take the Vikings. But I don't feel great about it. You got the Cardinals at the Browns. That should be roadkill. You got the Rams at the Packers. Snorefest. These are all the 1 o'clock games. Commanders at the Patriots. Another snoozer. Patriots 3.5-point favorite in that one. We'll go over the lines on Football Friday. But I just wanted to kind of lay out what games you have. You got the Bears and the Saints. You got some stinkers in the, you got the Bucks at the Texans. I mean, come on. But if you're looking at what you want to circle, okay, where am I going? I'm probably, if I got two games on in that 1 o'clock window, it's probably going to be Seahawks, Ravens, and then I'll keep an eye on the Vikings and Falcons. Now, we talked about this a second ago, but the morning gets rolling. It is in Frankfurt, by the way. Frankfurt Stadium is where the game will be played. Frankfurt, Germany. Dolphins are at the Chiefs. That's going to be a fun one. I hope everybody's safe over there with everything that's going on in the world. I'm really worried about them playing overseas. So hopefully the NFL will have security down and be keeping eyes and ears on all things that look suspicious. But Dolphins at Chiefs, this is a game that you want the world to see. You talk about having all these games that are played across the pond and whatnot. And look, the Jags-Bills wasn't a bad game to have over there. But typically, a lot of these games are just not fun. This is a fun one. I mean, let's be honest. If this wasn't being played at 9:30 in the morning, this would be the game. It would either be the 4:25 game of the week or it would be the Sunday night game. But that is the game. The 4 o'clock window, yeesh. Colts, Panthers, ugh. Giants, Raiders, ugh. But you do have the Cowboys and Eagles at 4:25. And you can follow that up with the Bills and the Bengals Sunday night. So all in all, you've got a really good quadruple header. You just got to hope that they all stay competitive games. But you've got 9:30 Dolphins, Chiefs. 1 o'clock, you can transition over to Seahawks at the Ravens. 4:25 Cowboys Eagles, and then 8:20 Bills Bengals. I'm probably going to try to get some stuff done in the 1 o'clock windows. Come back to the fray sometime in the late 4 o'clock window to catch Cowboys and Eagles, and then get ready for Sunday night. And of course, that's a rematch, same exact spot where the DeMar Hamlin thing took place. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great one. Thursday night football. Titans. Steelers. Hopefully, we get a good one tonight. Have a great evening, y'all.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
Hey sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of the Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're in Braves Country.
Welcome in, Braves Country. Mac McGee here with you today. And we are coming to you twice a week now during the offseason. It's officially the offseason. Congratulations to the Texas Rangers, who have won their very first World Series. Long time coming. They've been playing baseball in this same organization for 62 years. Actually, this is the 63rd season. Kent coming in 1961 as the Washington Senators. So congratulations to any of those old Senators fans that might have followed them over to Texas. Saw a pretty cool story where a guy that I guess was supposed to go to a Yankees-Dodgers game way back in the 70s in the World Series didn't get a chance to go. And short story long, his son got him tickets and got him to the game. I believe it was game 4 of this World Series. And I guess over the last several years, he's become a Rangers fan. I don't know if he was a Dodger fan, Yankee fan at the time, but he was supposed to go to the World Series. And that was the main part of that story. But anyways, we'll be coming to you twice a week with Braves Country today. And we hope that you join in on the fun. We're on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. You're looking for Braves Country Radio. We bring you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all season long. We are also now on the PSF app. Just go into the Braves chat, and that's where you would find our content there. And then, of course, we're on WQEE 99.1 FM in the Atlanta, Georgia market. And then also, we are now being carried by several independent stations nationwide. So we're looking forward to the 2024 season. And if you're watching us on the Braves Country Radio on YouTube, you can see the screen. And the screen tells you that Braves have already made a move, in case you missed it. How about that? The Atlanta Braves, while Texas was celebrating and everybody else was sleeping, the Atlanta Braves, shortly after the World Series ended, they got Joe Jimenez, one of the key free agents that the Braves were expected to lose.
They got Joe Jimenez signed to a 3-year deal worth $26 million. The numbers go like this. This was released by the Atlanta Braves. 3-year deal that's going to take him through the 2026 season. He is set to make 8 in 24 and then 9 in 25 and 26. Jimenez, just 28 years old, and he played his first season with Atlanta this year and had a 3.04 ERA. And you like that, including a 2.33 ERA and 50 strikeouts over 38 and two-thirds innings over his final 40 appearances. So really locked it down. And only pitched one inning in the postseason. It was a scoreless inning. And, of course, most folks will remember that we got Jimenez in a trade with Detroit last December. And he is now going to be an Atlanta Brave through 2026. So this one right here, I really like. I was starting to make peace with the fact that I thought he was going to leave us. Not that he wanted to leave, but that we weren't going to pony up and pay that kind of money. Because the simple fact is the Braves have a lot of moves that they have to think about. And we've got some guys out there that probably won't be back. And then we have to fill other roster needs, obviously. But this is a big step. This is a really big step. And the bullpen now, you're looking at the core of what we're working with right now, essentially. Now, obviously, there's going to be more moves made. But you're looking at a core bullpen that should have, on opening day or close to opening day, Iglesias, Minter, Jimenez, Nick Anderson, as he'll be set for arbitration, but we do expect for them to retain him. Ben Heller, same deal. Daisbell Hernandez. Tyler Matzek, remember him? He should be coming off his surgery. Opening day will be very close to that year and a half range. Now, they may take their time with him, but somewhere close to the first part of the season. Tyler Matzek, my guess would be probably closer to late June, late May, early June. But it would be fantastic if we saw him on opening day. Dylan Lee, Jackson Stevens, Michael Tonkin, let's go. This team's got a damn bullpen. Now, they've got some moves that they have to think about whether or not they want to make or not. I would tend to think that some of these guys, most of these guys are probably on their way out, especially when you see numbers like this. Jesse Chavez, I would love to see them bring him back. I just don't know if the investment's going to be there for an older pitcher. I think he's a great deal, but does he get a better offer somewhere? Because he did have a phenomenal year for when he was healthy. Kirby Yates. That's going to be the big question. Do they bring Kirby Yates back or do they not? And I think we'll get these answers very quickly. Brad Hand, I assume, is gone. I assume that they're not bringing back Colin McHugh, not for the $6 million option. Good night. They might sign him to a really club-friendly deal where he comes back to compete on like a minor league-type deal, but he was awful last year. And so this will be, going forward, you can pretty much see the bullpen being about what we have at it. I'm sure there's going to be a move or two made. Anthopoulos is usually pretty good about making sure that. That's the one thing you can say about Anthopoulos. You can pick apart the fact that we didn't make a lot of big moves at the trade deadline. And I think, you know what? I don't even think that he should have mentioned, I was reading this from the story from Bowman on MLB. He didn't mention it, but you've also got Pierce Johnson was locked up a few days ago. So add Pierce Johnson to that mix. I don't know why he was omitted, but Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez. The one thing you can say about Anthopoulos, especially in the offseason, he is aggressive at making sure we have bullpen depth. And that is a big, big deal. Especially the way we know that they like to use our bullpen during the regular season. It's very, this guy's not available today, that guy's not available tomorrow kind of thing. And rightfully so, they're trying to keep these guys healthy. They're trying to keep these guys healthy. Now, on the Braves country, Hot Stoves, we're going to be coming to you live on Monday nights. I believe 5 p.m. is what we're looking at. 5 p.m. Monday nights. And then there will be a Thursday afternoon drop. Those of y'all on radio, don't worry. You will get the show sent your way. As soon as we get it recorded, we send it towards the different radio outlets, including WQEE. So you'll get Braves Country. You'll be hearing this on essentially Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. You'll probably get a replay of it throughout the week for those that might miss it. But we will be live on Monday nights, and then Thursdays are going to be a drop because I can't guarantee what time I can do it on Thursdays. So it's just better to do a drop than to confuse the hell out of everybody. But this is a big deal, and I was really excited. I got to sit down to do the prep for the show today, and the first thing that I open up is like, holy cow, we've already got Jimenez. Let's get it. And he's got phenomenal stuff. He has the type of stuff that you could see developing into a closer. You really could. Now remember, we've got Iglesias through the end of next year. Well, I say next year, I mean 25, because I'm already looking at this coming season being 24. So we've got Jimenez for two more years, and we've got, Jimenez for 3 years, and Iglesias for 2 years. Jimenez might step into that closer role in 26. You never know. You never know how that plays out. But big, big deal there for your Atlanta Braves to go out there and make that move. Once again, congratulations to the Rangers. I felt like that Arizona, man, their offense just wasn't there. You can blame some pitching here and there, but honestly, their pitching was good enough to not be eliminated right now. We did that game pitch by pitch, play by play on Braves Country Radio. I do believe we'll continue to do that, bring you the World Series. No matter how deep the Braves go, we'll bring that to you on Braves Country Radio every year. We did the American League Championship Series and not the NLCS this year. So I got to see the Rangers firsthand for the last two rounds. And honestly, I thought they played better in the ALCS, but they had just enough. Look, remember, don't forget, Game 1 of this World Series, that might, and I mentioned it at the time of the broadcast, that may have lost the World Series for Arizona. They still had an opportunity to bounce back. They came back and won Game 2. But you had a real opportunity to have a 2-0 lead going back to Arizona. And the Rangers' offense demolished Arizona pitching in games 3 and 4. Well, demolished might be a little harsh for game 3. Game 4, they got smoked. Game 3, they jumped out to an early lead on Fat. And then honestly, Brandon Fat calmed down and he was a hell of a pitcher the rest of the way. Game 4 was the one they tried to go out there and do the bullpen thing. The front end of their bullpen, it was just awful. I don't know the Diamondbacks well enough to know what their options could have been, but I got a feeling that they just made some bad mistakes. First of all, Mantiply was pulled after the first inning. He wasn't pitching that poorly. This is the World Series. They should have done very A.J. Minter-like. Remember when Minter came out as the opener against the Dodgers? And he was pitching so well, he ends up pitching over three, I think it's 3 1/3. I still feel like to this day that they pulled him too early in that game because he was absolutely dominating. If memory serves me correct, that was game 5. The Braves had a 3-1 series lead. If memory serves me correct, that was game 5. They had a chance to knock him out. And look, this is Snicker's MO. Some of it's because he's led by the nose with the analytics department. Some of it, this is just his personality. But he got complacent and was okay. I think he was also, dumbfoundingly enough, he was playing for the future as well. I think he kind of learned a lesson, and that's how we ended up with the championship in 21. But I think he pulled Minter with the thought process of, well, we don't want to blow his arm out and we can't use him for 4 or 5 days. Screw it. Get to the World Series and figure it out. But enough about that. We can go down memory lane some other time. Congratulations to the Rangers. They are the 2023 world champions. And now everybody, except for Ranger fans, will turn their focus to 2024. Now, the Rangers front office will. I seriously doubt they sit on their laurels. But the fans, I can just tell you from recent memory, man, I didn't want the offseason to end. I was perfectly fine with just cruising through the offseason. And maybe a lot of it had to do, and I'm sure the Ranger fans will be in the same mindset. It had been so long since we had had a championship that I was perfectly okay with just kind of living off of that high. Now, we're 2 years removed from that, and now I can't wait to get to opening day. I'm ready for this team to turn the page and get that nasty taste out of their mouth. 2 years in a row now. 2 years in a row to get the nasty taste out of their mouth. Of losing to their division rival Philadelphia Phillies. And it's more than just that. It's not just that you lose to the Phillies. It's the fact that you did not get past the NLDS. And I already said it going into last postseason, but it really is going to hit home this postseason. This team is pennant or bust. You've got to get back to the World Series this year, bare minimum. On that note, who was reporting that? Was that ESPN? Yes, ESPN reporting that the Braves' early favorites to win the World Series, the way too early favorites, right? Way too damn early favorites to win the World Series at 13-2. So 6.5-1 to odds. Barely in front of the Dodgers, who were 7-1. And I believe the reason why the Dodgers are 7-1, not because they've done anything in the postseason. God bless, it's been 35 years. 35 years since they've won an actual World Series. If you don't count the bubble ship, which we don't, it's been 35 years. I think it's because a lot of folks believe it, and I'm in the same camp, that the Dodgers will sign Shohei Ohtani. and Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if he's the needle mover that everyone thinks he is. I mean, what the hell have the Angels done? But he's going to be their story. People are going to want to see him. Dodgers are going to be on national TV a lot. Get ready for that. Your Fox Saturday night game of the week, your ESPN game of the week on Sundays. I don't think they have, they used to have Monday and Wednesday nights. I don't think they do much of that anymore. All of it is going to be loaded down with Dodgers. Because Shohei Ohtani, who's the biggest star in the sport, is now on a perennial contender. All that time, I know he was technically in Los Angeles, Anaheim, but all that time that he spent with the Angels, they were always just roadkill. Nobody gave a damn. Nobody cared. Nobody paid attention because everybody knew that he was on a team that wasn't going to win. And I do believe that changes this offseason. Now, remember something about Ohtani, if you are going to future bets. He's not pitching this year. Whoever he signs with will not be helping that Dodgers pitching. Now, they hope to have Walker Buehler back. They hope to have some of their other pieces back that was injured. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in that Julio Urias deal. But here are your 2024 favorites to win, not make, but to win the World Series. Braves are sitting there at the top, right below them, the Dodgers. Just behind that, so the Braves are 6.5-1, Dodgers 7-1, so very, very close. The moment the Dodgers sign Shohei Ohtani, it's going to jump over that. But that really has nothing to do with the Dodgers winning ball games, because once again, he won't be able to pitch. Astros 9-1. Rangers, your defending champs, 9-1. The Phillies, 10-1. The Rays, 15-1. The Yankees, what? Yankees 15-1. What was that? You're a damn fool if you put money on the Yankees to win. Blue Jays, 16-1. Orioles, 16-1. Same thing with the Padres, 16-1. I would not put a dime on the Padres winning the World Series. That team, I don't know what it is, but their locker room is a mess. They're losing their manager. He's heading to San Francisco. Maybe that'll help. Maybe they need everyone always talks about the culture of the locker room. Well, maybe they need a culture shock. I don't know what they need, but they definitely need something different there. Mariners 20-1. Diamondbacks 25-1. You know, the Mariners are not a bad bet. Mariners, if they had a couple of pieces, Mariners could be a very good bet. Who else do we have here? Mets 25-1. You lost your mind. The Mets are going to be in complete rebuild. Complete rebuild. And who else do we have here? Twins 25-1, Cubs 30-1, Red Sox 30-1. I want to see who's going to take over the Red Sox front office before I start laying any cash that way. Some of your better, like if someone were to ask me who is the 2024 version of the Diamondbacks, a team that's young, they could sneak into the playoffs, and then at that point, it's just all about getting hot, right? We'll see what they do in the postseason, in the offseason. But a team that I'm keeping an eye on, because I really want to see where their over-under team total wins will be. I do this every year where I grab about 2 to 3 teams, and I bet the over or the under. This year, I got 2 of my 3 bets. I took the 2 that hit were the Twins winning the AL Central and the Orioles being above 77.5 wins. Now, I can guarantee you this year the Orioles over-under win total is going to be a heck of a lot higher and 77.5. The one that I missed out on by one damn game was the Giants over-under. I think it was technically two, but they got knocked out on the last day, and then they just gave up. The Detroit Tigers, 60-1 odds. Now, I don't know if I'd want to put money on them winning it, but I'd like to see what the odds will be for the Tigers to win the AL pennant. They are a team that has some good young talent. I definitely feel like I'm going to take them to win the Central. Minnesota has a lot of holes, man, a lot of holes. And I don't see them repeating what they're doing, what they did last year. Cleveland feels like that they're in a bit of a rebuild, or at least a retooling, because there are talks about them trading Bieber and possibly Quantrill to get younger. I just don't feel like the Twins are going to re-sign Gray. I think he's going to leave. And depending on what the Tigers do in the offseason, that could be a tricky team to deal with. They were in the divisional race much longer than people realize. That would be my one shot in the dark. If you asked me just today, you asked me here in early November, who would I take a stab at? The other one that could be exciting, and this feels like an Arizona-type team, if you want one from the National League, it's the Cincinnati Reds. They fell apart at the end, but the Cincinnati Reds have got some good young talent. And I'm not just talking about Ellie De La Cruz. I'm talking about that pitching is good. They've got good offense top to bottom. That could be a really fun team to watch, Reds and Tigers. I'll be interested to see what their over-under total is going to be. Team that I think will be probably overvalued, and we'll just have to wait to see what the win totals will be, but teams that I think will be overvalued just because of brand, it'll be the Mets. They'll have the Mets win total way too high. You can guarantee it. Obviously, the Yankees, if they're putting them 15-1, there's no part of the New York Yankees that I think is fixable to win the World Series in 2024. Their offense is non-existent. Their pitching is very top-heavy, meaning they put a lot of money into Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon. They didn't get nearly the production they thought they were going to get in the rest of their supporting cast in the starting rotation. I mean, you look at what Nestor Cortes fell off a damn cliff. There is no way. I don't even know if I would put money on the Yankees to make the playoffs. They're in the toughest division in baseball. They're going to have to maneuver through the Rays, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, and then whatever the Red Sox decide to do. I do think they're bringing back Boone just to fire him next year. I really don't see what he can do to improve that team, to improve the win total. He actually did a pretty damn good job if you look at what their talent and their offense is just pitiful. They're not the Bronx Bombers right now. So there you have a real quick look at next year, what's going to be going forward with that. Step aside here for 1 second. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, all right, so who the hell are we going to go after early on? Because remember, here in about 4 days, 5 days, the clock begins. We'll be back in a flash.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're in Braves Country.
All right. This is the free agent rankings heading into the offseason. I thought this would be fun to look at. We already talked about Shohei Ohtani. Never going to happen, my friend. He's not going to be an Atlanta Brave. So who is a realistic option? Now, one guy that you're going to start hearing a lot about, right-handed pitcher by the name of Yamamoto. He won Japan's version of the Cy Young. He, in each of the past 2 years, he has won the Triple Crown for pitching in their league. I believe it's called the Pacific League. He's expected to immediately jump into a number one or number two spot. I'd be lying if I said that I've seen him pitch. I've seen clips, but I haven't sat down watching pitch. I'm going to try to do that in the offseason because I am curious to see what the guy looks like. And we all know that pitchers coming from overseas, it's a mixed bag of tricks. Some of them come out really, really impressive. Some of them, not so much. I do believe the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Red Sox are all going to be involved in this. The Mets, because they like to throw money at their problems. Also, they got a really good return on Kodai Senga, who came over from that league. So they're more likely to say, hey, let's do it. Let's get it. But he's being, I do find it odd that he's ranked number two. And maybe it's just the, if you tell me it's the age thing, I get it. 25 compared to 31. But Blake Snell is going to be a free agent. And Blake Snell, listen to this. I forgot about this with Snell. Because you get lost into your own team. On May 19th, Blake Snell had a 1-6 record with a 5.4 ERA after 9 starts. Pitiful. From that point forward, after everyone, I can remember now there were a lot of articles out there saying, man, Snell's really screwing up. He's about to be a free agent, and he can't pitch himself out of a wet paper bag. He is done. After that point, you can make the argument that the left-hander, and that's another key thing, he's a southpaw. These southpaws that win Cy Youngs don't grow on trees, and I do believe he's going to win the Cy Young. He went 13-3 with a 1.2 ERA over the last 23 starts of the season. Remember, he won the 2018 American League Cy Young Award. And I expect he's going to add a second. Teams being rumored for him, for his services right now. Cardinals, that's interesting. Dodgers and Padres. If the Cardinals sign Snell, the first thing you got to think to yourself is, man, wouldn't it just been a lot cheaper to keep Jordan Montgomery and develop him? Because he's pretty damn good southpaw himself. But anyways, the number four guy ranked on this list, this is interesting. He feels like he should be much older. Every time I see his numbers, I go, is he really only 28 years old? And I mean, I look at this on like a weekly basis. But if you were to ask me off the cuff how old Cody Bellinger is, I'm thinking 30, 31 years old. He is only 28 years old. He had a disappointing 2021, a disappointing 2022 season. So he signed a one-year deal with the Cubs, giving him an opportunity to reestablish his market value. The Cubs said, oh, what the hell, we'll give it a shot. He said, look, I can't do worse. Let's do this. He hit 307 last year, 26 home runs, 97 RBI, and 130 games. And he can play all over the outfield. He can also play first base. I do believe the Cubs are going to try to re-sign him. He's going to get the Cubs are going to get stiff competition from the Giants and the Yankees. So we keep an eye on that. Number five guy on the list. Oh, this is hits close to home. What do we have here? We have Aaron Nola, 31 years old. Now, through 2017 to 2020, he was one of the best right-handers in baseball. Last few years during the regular season, he's really fallen off. Now, he's pitched pretty well in the postseason. He didn't have a great outing his last outing against Arizona, but all in all, you got to say Aaron Nola, when the lights are the brightest, he steps up. And he's going to go into by the way, before he spit the bit in the final start against the Diamondbacks, prior to that, in three starts, he was 3-0 with a .96 ERA, including one of them against Atlanta, right? But it'll be interesting to see who's involved with him. Now these are teams that may miss out on Snell and whatnot. It's being rumored right now, Cardinals, Giants, Phillies. The Giants are going to be big spenders this year. I think that was a big reason why they were able to talk Melvin into coming in from San Diego up to San Francisco. And remember, they missed out on the big fish last year. They were really trying to go in and get Aaron Judge. They didn't get him. That money that they were going to spend on Aaron Judge, they will be putting that money up big time. And I mean big time in this offseason. I expect the Giants to land at least two, if not three, major free agents. All right, here's another one. And your eyes got to be peeled for this one. Josh Hader, 30 years old, left-hander, and one of the big fish that's talking about possibly being a landing spot for him is the Philadelphia Phillies. I know Braves fans really want to see Hader in a Braves uniform because he's been phenomenal. But he's expected to shatter Edwin Diaz's deal from last season of 5 years, $102 million. I don't think Atlanta's putting that kind of money into a left-handed closer. Not when they already have Iglesias. They've got Minter, who gets the job done. They've got Jimenez. They've got Pierce Johnson. That's a lot of money already in the back of your bullpen. If you do that, then, and look, I don't hate this idea, but if you do that, then you are really going to explore the kids in your rotation. Maybe get some cheap veterans and look at it as, hey, let's have a just unbelievable bullpen that you're not going to be able to touch when we get to the postseason, and we'll worry about getting the wins during the regular season. We'll get that figured out. I don't hate that idea. I just don't think they're going to go out and spend a little over $20 million on Josh Hader. Not when they're already spending what they'll have 15 locked up this year between Johnson and Jimenez. You also have the arbitration deal for Minter coming up, and I believe I saw it was around 6.25 is what they're expecting. So let's just round it up and say $21 million. Then you had the 16 that's going to be due to Iglesias. That's 37. You put another 20, so you're going to put $57 million in the back of your bullpen? Yeesh. What if there's an injury? What if there's an Edwin Diaz situation? It's a lot to put in. Here's an interesting one, and I love this landing spot. This is the one I've been banging the table for. I'm hoping we could get some kind of a not hometown discount. He's not from Atlanta, but hey, He played college ball and is from the Nashville area. Played college ball at Vanderbilt. Maybe Sonny Gray comes a-calling. He's 34 years old. I don't think you're going to have to break the bank for him. He did have a phenomenal year this year. 2.79 ERA in, 32 starts? He'll be 34, but if you sign him to a three-year deal, I think that's manageable. Question is, how much is he expecting? Will he sign a three-year deal? The teams that'll be in the hunt for him that they're looking at, they call these potential fits. Cardinals, once again, you're going to see them rumored a lot. Cardinals do not want to be as bad as they were last year. And the Minnesota Twins, which would be him returning home. I think Atlanta's going to be aggressive. I think that's the Fitch they're going to try to bring in. He would essentially replace Charlie Morton. Now, if Charlie Morton comes back, then just scratch the hell out of everything I just said. But there was this sense that Charlie Morton could be hinting towards retirement. And he might need several days to think about it, et cetera, et cetera. But there has to be a decision made, because if you're going to pick up the option and he's going to play, we will know by Monday. 5 days after the World Series ends, these guys hit free agency. Here's another fun one. Yeah, here's a shocker. He's rumored to go to the Cardinals as well. Jordan Montgomery. Rangers, Cubs, and Cardinals is what they're talking about. Now, he's 30, and he'll probably be looking for a long-term deal and a big deal. He was very instrumental in getting them their world championship. Him and Eovaldi were the 1-2 punch. I think he goes back to the Rangers. I think the Rangers are going to back the truck up. I think they want to bring him back. But it'll be interesting. Cardinals, Cubs, and Rangers are the three main teams that they're talking about with him. J.D. Martinez, 36-year-old DH. He's not a fit for the Braves. He would be a guy that the Angels might sign if they lose Otani. Dodgers might bring him back if they miss out on Otani. I could see him going to the Mets. He could even end up back in Boston. But he's 36 years old. Had a pretty good year this year. Pretty darn good year. He was injured for a part of it, but even with that, he had 33 home runs, 101 RBI, 893 OPS. It was a resurgent year, but he is 36 years old, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. We'll go ahead and finish this one up here. Matt Chapman, third baseman, he's the number 10 guy on their list. They're talking about Blue Jays, Dodgers, Yankees. I get that. The interest there isn't there for me, so I'm moving on to the next guy, because the next guy we all have interest in. Jorge Soler is 32. He has an opt-out, and it appears he's going to take that opt-out. The opt-out's for $9 million. So if he opts out, do the Braves possibly say goodbye Rosario? Let's see what Soler would sign with us for. I mean, he had 36 home runs this year, and he was injured. He wasn't seriously injured. He was injured for a portion of the season. 36 home runs. Tell me that wouldn't be a hell of a bottom-of-the-order bat to add and get rid of Rosario. I'm telling you, I know there's a lot of folks that still love Eddie. I am so ready to see him go. Another year of watching him half-assed in the outfield, give away at bats, and all the way knowing you're paying him $9 million to do that. I would rather see them say, screw it, we're going to invest in the pitching, and we'll see if we can get someone off the scrap heap and also possibly mix in one of our young kids that can come up and swing the bat. Give me a Vaughn Grissom into damn left field. He can't be that bad defensively. Not worse than freaking Rosario. And I don't want to hear about how he's up for the damn gold glove. That just tells you how shallow the left field position is in the National League. Clayton Kershaw, he's number 12 on this list. If he pitches, he's going to go to the Dodgers. There's always the rumor he could go to the Rangers. I don't see it. I think he's going to be a Dodger. The reason why he keeps getting rumored to the Rangers is because he grew up in that area. But he's a Dodger. He's either a Dodger or he's going to walk away. E-Rod, I'm surprised he's all the way down here at the number 3 list. I'm also surprised that they're saying that he is, so he's 31. So, you know, he's got a good 3-4 years left. He's a lefty. Dominant lefties are unicorns. And, look, he was dominant in April and May, then kind of fell off. But he was still pretty damn good. He still, all in all, was a heck of a lefty. Good enough to where the Dodgers wanted to make a trade for him. He turned it down. And he said he wanted to stay on the East Coast, so we kind of eliminate West Coast opportunities there, right? The names that are popping off on this article says Orioles, Reds, Tigers. Now, I get the Tigers. If he decides he wants to stay home. Orioles, East Coast, Banca, they use some pitching. The Reds are an interesting one. I don't suspect he'll end up with the Reds, but would that make that team fun to watch? Jung-Hoo Lee, a center fielder coming out of the KBO. Listen to this slash line. In 7 seasons, .340 batting average, .407, .491. So we're talking about an OPS in the high 800s. He's being rumored Giants, Mariners, Yankees. 25 years old. Lourdes Gurriel, 30 years old. They're rumoring him possibly to the Braves, D-backs, and Yankees. I can tell you just from my perspective of watching Gurriel, it's a right-handed version of Eddie Rosario. So if you're gonna bring Gurriel in, you might as well just bring back Rosario for one more year. You're gonna pay less. Gurriel, a lot of holes in his swing. Now he's one of these guys that rides the highs and lows. But all in all, I'm not in love with that idea. Because I'm thinking you're gonna have to sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. I'm thinking he's gonna dictate the terms to be, my guess would be, let's say 4 years around $50 million. At that point, just bring back Eddie and we'll just get through one more year with him and see if there's something on the trading deadline. Teoscar Hernandez is another guy that's kind of in that same ilk. A guy that will put up solid numbers. I'm actually bigger on Hernandez than I am Gurriel, mainly because Hernandez would come at a cheaper rate. And one of the interesting ones, and I find it interesting that they're not rumoring him to come back to Philly, is Rhys Hoskins. He's going to be a free agent. First baseman. Now remember, before he went to first, he was an outfielder. So you could, in theory, bring him in as an outfielder. But in his last 4 full seasons before this injury, hit 27 home runs or more. So if I find it interesting that they don't have the Phillies, I feel like that they're going to bring him back. But they don't have him listed as a top. Lucas Giolito, you can have him. I don't want anything to do with Lucas Giolito. That guy is batting practice waiting to happen. They've got him rumored to Cardinals, D-backs, and Red Sox. And what's the last one? We'll round this out with what is the last one on their list? Whit Merrifield. This would be an interesting one for the Braves to bring in because he can play infield as well. He's an outfielder, 35 years old. You bring him in on a cheap deal. He's got sprinter speed and he doesn't strike out. I don't hate the idea of Merrifield. You bring Merrifield in to be some kind of a platoon situation with Rosario. If you bring him back, that I don't hate that at all. Now I think you got to get him more at bats than what you got Pilar to keep him happy. He'll most likely sign somewhere on a multi-year deal. So, you know, he's probably going to try to get the best money out of a team like the White Sox or something and not worry about if he wins. And he probably just hopes he gets traded. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Y'all have a great day. And we will be bringing Braves Country Hot Stove your way throughout the offseason. Have a good one.
You're in Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern Sports Talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?